Since we began studying the Bible with our Christadelphian brothers and sisters, I've enjoyed most the parables of Christ. They convey so much to us. I think they deserve some special attention when we're discussing things. Jesus used them to teach his apostles, his followers, his disciples. And I freely admit that I don't understand them all. I'm much happier with the parables that Jesus explains. And he does that with many of them, of course. They're explained very clearly. Some of them aren't so clear. The first part of our reading today is a fine example of one of these meaningful stories. And I want to use my time this morning to talk about the workers in the vineyard. There's some unusual things about this story. And we're going to think about how we would react if we were the workers in the vineyard. And what does this story mean to us? So what are some of the unusual things that happen? They're very unusual, not only 2,000 years ago, but I submit to you they'd be unusual today. It was not unusual to hire day laborers. The owner of the vineyard would go to the market in the town and find people that are willing to work to help him harvest his grapes. He'd hire them for the day. And so he'd go at dawn because it was going to be a long day. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., dawn to dusk, he'd expect these people to work. And they'd work for a denarius for the day, or a penny, depending on your translation of the Bible that you're using. But this was a common amount for a day's work. The unusual thing comes with the second group that he hires. At the third hour, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. Matthew 20, verses 3 and 4. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." Whatever is right. Not a very usual thing to say. Certainly not today. If you call the plumber to come unstop the drain in your house and tell him, "I'll pay you whatever is right," do you think he's going to show up? "I'll pay you whatever is right. Whatever I decide is right." The unusual behavior continues at noon, at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. Tells them the same thing. So now we've got five groups of workers in the vineyard, but only the first group knows what they're going to be paid. Okay, so it's unusual from the aspect of the point of view of the workers, too. The workers hired later should have negotiated their wages. They should have expected to receive what was right. But if they wouldn't have expected to receive a full day's wages for half a day of work. No bartering goes on. No discussion goes on. They just go start working. The third unusual thing that happens is the order of their payment at the end of the day. Let's look at Leviticus 19, verse 13. Leviticus 19, verse 13. "Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of the hired man overnight." They're supposed to be paid at the end of the day, but But you would certainly expect that the ones who are hired first would get paid first. So there appears to be only one reason for the owner of the vineyard to instruct the last to be paid first, and that he wants to highlight what the last group is being paid. He wants everybody to know. And what are they paid? They're paid a full day's wages for 1 hour of work. In fact, all five groups are paid exactly the same thing. So how would we react? My initial reaction when I read this story, I think, comes from my business school education. That's not fair. The union won't allow it. Finally, being a product of the 60s, that sounds like communism. You know, from each according to their abilities, to each according to their needs. Doesn't sound fair. Our culture, especially in the United States, is obsessed with fairness and equity. Fair, according to the dictionary, means free from bias, dishonesty, or injustice. Proper under the rules. Let's remember that second part. Equitable means characterized by fairness, just and right. And my initial reaction is that paying one person who works only 1 hour the same as one who works 12 hours couldn't be fair and equitable. And this wasn't an easy job they were doing, neither. I know that if it happened at my place of business, there'd be big trouble. Lawsuits would ensue. And then it also reminds me a little bit of a comment in 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 and 10. For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. Is it about the ox that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us. Because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in hope of sharing in the harvest. It's natural in our part of the world for workers to expect fair compensation. But when we examine fair and equitable more completely in society today, we find often that when we're talking about those terms, people say, when they say fair, they mean what I think I deserve. And that leads us into the next section. And that is, what are the essentials of this parable that apply to us today? It's designed to demonstrate and describe things that are important to us. They tell us about God's character. The payment method, last to first. As I mentioned before, there's only one reason to do it that way, and that's so that the people will notice and ask questions. Does this tell us something about God's character? I think it does. It shows us that God can accept our questions. He gives us the answers in His Word. Job questioned God and was still judged to be a righteous man. Moses, Abraham, Jesus, all questioned God. There are times when the answer is not clear, or not as obvious as we'd like it to be. Sometimes the answer may not be what we expect, but He still answers. Here the answer is, all are going to be rewarded equally. Second, the spirit of the master. The spirit of this master in the parable is by no means ordinary. He keeps going back. He keeps going back to the market to look for more workers. He doesn't just ask once or twice. Over and over again, he asks for more workers. He wants people to come help him. This characteristic of persistence is very beneficial for us. God and His Son keep asking us to join up. Come work in their vineyard. Next, the master's generous to some while being just to all. He's merciful to all the workers, regardless of when they started or how long they worked. They all provided faithful service. And so the landowner displays a characteristic of God that's shown in Exodus 33. Let's look at Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. Exodus 33, verse 18 and 19. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." God's character, I think we all agree, is a higher standard. Something that we should aspire to. Finally, there's a principle put forth here that's mentioned in the New Testament several times. The first will be last, and the last will be first. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't like that. They didn't want to listen to the parables about these things because they knew Jesus was speaking of them. And they feared what being last meant. You'd be excluded. They also didn't want to give up their exalted positions, especially not to a carpenter's son. Jesus discusses this a little bit in the previous chapter of Matthew when he spoke to the rich young man. Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." He told him to give up his wealth, give up his first position. And then Jesus tells us that this is a particularly difficult lesson Matthew 19, verses 22 to 26. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." So the first hired in the vineyard still received their reward. And that's summed up in Matthew 19, verses 28 to 30. I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Being the last to receive that reward doesn't seem like a bad thing to me at all. I wouldn't mind being the last one in line. So now we turn our attention to the table and the sacrifice our Lord made for us. As we go back out into the world this week, as we await his return, we need to remember with gratitude the fact that we are already workers in his vineyard. Some of us have been called earlier than others, but that's not important. What is important is our faith and our work for him. Recruiting more workers, doing the work of the vineyard. We have our task. Let's go into the world this week and do our best as we await his return.